Amen. Well, take your Bibles, remain standing a little bit longer. It always amazes me where I hear that song. I think I first heard it in Fiji, but everywhere I travel around the world and different places, you hear them singing this song, Higher, Higher. I was watching some churches in Africa, and they're singing Higher, Higher as well. Amen. So it's a song that we sing all around the world. And we are called to lift Jesus higher. Lift Him up for the world to see. He said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. That's another old song, Sister Donna. Praise God. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 8. Amen. 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 8. And to give you context before we read today, God was angry with David because David had numbered Israel. And you may say, well, what's wrong with numbering Israel? But God was displeased with David and angry because man only had the right to number what belonged to him. He was not to number what belonged to God. And Israel did not belong to David. Israel belonged to God. And so there was a motive there in numbering Israel. And we pick up the story here. And David said unto God, because God was angry with him, David said unto God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I beseech thee, God, I ask you, I request of you, I beseech thee, do away with the iniquity of thy servant. Forgive me, God, do away with my iniquity, for I have done very foolishly. And the Lord spake unto David, and unto Gad, David's seer, or the prophet, saying, go and tell David, saying, thus saith the Lord, I offer these three things. These are three choices of punishment to David. Choose one of them that I may do it unto thee. And so Gad did as he was told and came to David and said, thus saith the Lord, choose thee. Here's your choices. Either 3 years famine or 3 months to be destroyed before thy foes while the sword of thine enemies overtaketh thee, or else 3 days the sword of the Lord, even pestilence in the land, and the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the coasts of Israel. Wow, imagine being David right there. Here's your three choices. Pick which one you want. Here are the three choices. Now therefore advise thyself what word I shall bring again to him that sent me. And David said unto Gad, everyone say, David said. David said unto Gad, I am in a great strait. I'm in a lot of trouble. I can't believe where I find myself right now. I am in a great strait. He said, let me fall now into the hand of the Lord. Everybody say, let me fall into the hand. Everyone say, into the hand of the Lord. He said, let me fall into the hand of the Lord. For very great are His mercy. For His mercies are so great. If I'm going to fall, Brother Mika, I want to fall into the hands of the Lord. Why? For very great are His mercies, but let me not fall into the hand of man. He said, I'd rather fall into the hands of God than to fall into the hands of man. I want to minister on this title, the hands of a merciful God. Hallelujah. You're thankful for His mercy today, brothers and sisters. The hands of a merciful God. Lord God, we stand in this place today. Lord, ever mindful of Your grace and ever mindful of Your mercy. Lord God, we can relate with David, Lord God, as he said, I am in a difficult place. But Lord, we are thankful, Lord, that we can choose where we fall. Lord, we want to fall into Your hands, oh God, today, because You are merciful. You are a God full of grace and love. We thank You for Your hands of mercy today. Now, as Your word comes forth, speak to every single one of us. Help us not just to be hearers, but doers of the word also. Lord, I pray, Lord, that this word would reach somebody today that's far from You. And Lord, let there be a change in their life. We pray in Jesus' name. And everybody say amen. You may be seated. The hands of a merciful God. There was a man that once said this. He said these words. He said, while we often take ourselves too seriously, while we often take ourselves too seriously, we can never take our soul too seriously. We can never take our souls too seriously. So when we come to church, we must position ourselves in such a way that we are ready for what God wants to speak to us. Let me tell you, when you come to church and you walk into this place and the Word of God is brought forth, God wants to speak to every heart. So don't switch off and say, I think I've heard this before, or maybe this is for somebody else, because in every word that comes from the Word of God, God is going to speak to every heart. It may be for something that you've been through. It may be for something that you're going through right now. Or maybe God is speaking today to prepare you for something that you're about to go through. And so let us not just to be hearers, but let us apply the word to our life. And so we're talking about the mercy of God. Grace and mercy are often confused by many people. Grace and mercy are not the same thing. They are companions, but grace and mercy are not the same thing. A good way to understand what mercy is to see how it relates to grace. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Some people would define grace as the unmerited favor of God. We got favor from God, but we were unmerited. We don't deserve it. Grace is getting what you don't deserve. Mercy, on the other hand, is different. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. And so when you get pulled up speeding and the policeman says, that's a fine of $600, but he says, I'm not going to give it to you, that is mercy. Everybody say mercy. Not getting the punishment that you deserve, a punishment that is withheld, that is mercy. And so in Psalm 136, and I encourage you to read it, write it in your notebook there to read this week, we find these beautiful words 26 times. We read these words in Psalm 136, for his mercy endureth forever. Let me tell you, if I was going to give you one of the most comprehensive statements about the nature of God, I would tell you, first of all, God is love. And very quickly, I would tell you the next thing, for his mercy endureth forever. That is probably one of the most comprehensive statements that you could make about the nature of God. You see, his love and his mercy is connected. His mercy endureth forever. Anybody thankful for his mercy today? So what do you mean, Pastor? His mercy endureth forever. Well, if you're deep in sin today, maybe you're so deep in sin, I want to tell you, his mercy endureth forever. If you're deep in sin, his mercy goes even deeper. And there are testimonies here today that you can say, I was lost in sin. I was deep in sin. But God's mercy even found me in that place because his mercy goes even deeper. Some may say, well, I've fallen deep. Let me tell you, his mercy is sufficient. Some people say, oh, but I've strayed such a long way. And maybe you're here today and you've strayed from God in your heart such a long way. I want to tell you, you may have strayed a long way, but his mercy goes even further than where you are today. That is the mercy of God. You see, we sin, we disobey God, we break his laws, and God has every right to judge us. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but that's when the mercy of God steps on the scene and he withholds in his mercy what we do deserve. There were two prisoners sitting in jail one day. One prisoner said to the other as he's getting ready to go for his sentencing, he said, don't worry, you'll get justice. You'll get justice. And the prisoner said back to him, he said, I don't need justice. I need mercy. I need mercy. And that's exactly what we need. Justice says the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the mercy of God, the gift of God is life eternal. We don't need justice, brothers and sisters. We need the mercy of God. And David says, oh, I'm in such a difficult situation. He said, I am in a great strait. He said, I need and I want to fall into the hands of God, because great are His mercies. Great are His mercies. He said, I want to fall. Everybody say fall. There's a great deal of science around falling these days. A lot of our elderly people spiral into really bad health normally after a fall. We've got a lot of nurses and carers here, and they will tell you the dangers of falling. You see, somebody can have very good health, but then just in the moment of a fall, it seems like there's a domino effect that can affect their health. And there's a great deal of science around falling. Even when you look at the movies and the daredevils and the stunt people, and they somehow know the art and the science of falling. They will fall and they will walk away unharmed. They will walk away uninjured and just walking away totally, totally fine. Because why? They have learned the art of falling. Everybody say falling. In the Winter Olympics, when you see the Winter Olympics and they fall, those ski jumpers and all of that, they've also learned the art of falling. And even in aged care, there are courses now for our elderly on how to fall. How to fall. And because there is a way that you can fall to protect yourself. You don't want to fall like a tree in the forest. There's a way that you can fall to brace yourself. So they even teach our elderly how to fall safely. And so as Christians, I want to talk about falling today. I want to talk about falling because even as Christians, even as born-again Christians, there will be times when we fall today. And that's why I want to talk about how to fall, and I want to talk about where to fall. If you're going to fall, this is how you should fall, and this is where you should fall. And maybe there's somebody here today that isn't living for God at all. You say, I'm not a Christian. I don't even know how I ended up in church today. I'm here to tell you, let me tell you the best place to fall. Let me tell you the best place to fall. Maybe you're here today and you say, well, Pastor, I've come to the end of myself. I want to tell you, when you've come to the end of yourself, I want to tell you where you can fall. Because that's exactly where David was. He had sinned in numbering Israel. He had other sins in his life as well that he committed. But he says, I am in a great strait. I find myself in such a predicament. I find myself so far away. He said, I want to fall into the hands of the Lord. I don't know what else to say when I'm presented with these three punishments. I don't know what else to say, but I know this one thing. I want to fall into the hands of the Lord. I don't want to fall into the hands of man. I want to fall into the hands of the Lord. Now, if you know your Bible, you may say, well, Pastor, I'm a little bit confused today because there seems to be a contradiction. I remember reading a scripture in Hebrews that says, it is a fearful thing for man to fall into the hands of God. And then today, Pastor, you're preaching about how it's a good thing to fall into the hands of God. You see, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 31, it says these words, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. Now, this is a good lesson why you need to read things in context. When you get to verse 31, don't start at verse 31. Go back to the beginning of the chapter and start reading and find out why it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. Because there are no contradictions in the Bible. And so, is the writer of Hebrews trying to make us fearful? No. If you read the first part of Hebrews chapter 10, you will see that the writer of Hebrews is showing us the superiority of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. He was saying in the writer of Hebrews, in Hebrews 10, he's saying, there is no need to fear sin because Jesus has paid the price of sin. You see, he said, under the law, we were all condemned. For all have fallen short of the glory of God. We have all broken the commandments. He said, but there's no need to fear, because the blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross, it paid the price for our sin, and we can be saved. You say, well, Pastor, I still don't understand why it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of God. In verse 17, it says, and their sins I will remember no more. In verse 19, it says, we can go into the Holy of Holies with boldness. Why? Because of the blood of Jesus. So we can boldly approach the throne. In Hebrews 10, verse 22, it says, we can draw near to God with full assurance, knowing that we have been forgiven. And so what is the writer of Hebrews saying? The first part of Hebrews 10 is telling us all the reasons why we don't have to fear. And then we get to verse 31, and he says, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God. You see, you can't understand verse 31 until you understand the verses before. Because the writer of Hebrews is saying, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a God that you have rejected. If you're going to live for God, it's not a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a God whom you are serving. It is not a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God whom you love. But it is a fearful thing for anybody to fall into the hands of a God that they have rejected. And David says, oh, it's better for me. I'm in a great strait. He said, it is better for me. I want to fall into the hands of a living God, because his mercies are so great. Let me tell you today, if I've got to fall, I know where to fall. And I know where I want to fall. I want to be humble. Everyone say humble. I want to be humble. I don't want to reject God. I want to be humble. I want to be repentant before God. I want to fall humbly and repentant. Where am I going to fall? I'm going to fall into the hands of a merciful God. That's what I'm talking to you today about. The hands of a merciful God. And why is this applicable to every single one of us? Because if you're truthful today, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but the truth is we all make mistakes. We all fall. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Let me tell you, we all fall. But when you fall, let me tell you where to fall. Fall into the hands of a merciful God. You don't want to fall into the hands of man. The hands of man, they're going to get revenge. They're going to extract revenge. They're going to hurt you. But when you fall, fall humbly and fall repentantly into the hands of God. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I'm a long way from God. Pastor, I'm in a difficult situation. I don't know how I got here. Pastor, I know I've fallen deep into sin. Let me tell you where to fall. Fall into the hands of God. You can't fix it on your own. You can't fix it with your own wisdom. Fall into the hands of a merciful God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And there are so many testimonies here today. You will say, Pastor, you will say, Church, yes, that's me. Pastor, yes, that's me. I was the one. You don't know where I was. You may have been able to see what I looked like, but you didn't even see the state of my heart. I was so far. I was so lost. But your testimony today is, I may have gone far from God, but his mercy went further. Are you thankful for his mercy today? God will never consult your past to determine your future. Somebody ought to say amen to that. God will never consult your past to determine your future. God will never check your past when it comes to framing your future. And some of us, that is the best thing we've heard in a long time. Because we write ourselves off. We say, you don't know what I've done. You don't know what I said. You don't know where I've been. You don't know the attitude that I've had. But let me tell you, God will never look at your past when determining your future. Look what Paul said to the church at Corinth. And boy, did they have a past. They had a past. He says, know you not. Here it is. The unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor a lot of churches don't like to read these verses. People don't like to hear it, but it's in the Word. Nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor extortioners, they shall not inherit the kingdom of God. And everyone's going, yes, 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 we agree with that. And what does Paul say? And such were some of you. Oh, hang on, don't make it personal. He goes, I know what's going on. I know what your past is. I know where you've been. And he said, all of those things, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. And he says, such were. Everyone say were. Such were some of you. And maybe some of us today, we can look at that list and we could probably check a few off. And we can say, yeah, neighbor, that was me once upon a time. Such were some of you, but what? But you are washed, oh, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. That was us. That was our past. But God doesn't consult our past in framing our future. I'm glad. Somebody ought to say, I'm glad he doesn't look at my past. I'm glad that he's a merciful God. I remember when I was so lost in sin, I fell into the hands of God. I didn't even know a lot about the Bible. I didn't know a lot about God. I hadn't been to Bible college. I hadn't been coming to church very long, but I fell into the hands of God and I found mercy. I'm talking today about the hands of a merciful God. It says in Ephesians 2, and you hath he quickened. This is it. You hath he quickened. He's saying, and you were dead. And then you were quickened. God had quickened you who were dead in trespasses and sins. Imagine if our paramedics decided to check your past before they resuscitated you. Okay, we got somebody here. Well, they look dead. Tell me, what's this person like? Are they worth resuscitating? It'd be tempting, wouldn't it? God doesn't do that. He quickens us in spite of our past. And he raises us, he quickens us, brings us back to life and says, that may have been you, but now I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose you this day who you will serve. You in your sin, yeah, I'm going to quicken you if you will fall into the hands of a merciful God. I'm thankful for his mercy today. I'm thankful for his mercy. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world and according to the prince of the power of the air, that Satan was in control of your destiny, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Here it is. Everybody say, but. You know, you ought to go home and do a Bible study on the word but. It's one of the most powerful words, and I'm glad the Sunday school kids aren't in here. We always get a chuckle when I say that. But you ought to go do a Bible study on the word but. It's the most powerful verse you could ever read. When my parents told me, they said, Jonathan, you're grounded and you've done the wrong thing, but. I'm like, oh, there's hope. And that's exactly what this means. It says, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You walked according to the course of the world. Satan was in control of your life. And he said, but God, who is rich in mercy, not just merciful, but rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us. Some of you have got a testimony of a but in your life. That was me, but God brought me back to life. He put my feet back on the right path, and I fell into the hands of a merciful God. Let me tell you, when you fall into the hands of a merciful God, when you fall repentant, when you fall humbly, when you obey God's word, when you're baptized, the Bible says all of your past is washed away, all of your sins are washed away. You don't just turn over a new leaf. Let me tell you that. You don't turn over a new leaf. God gives you a completely new leaf. It says all things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the power of the hands of a merciful God. The hands of a merciful God. And I am and you are what we are today because God didn't check our past. Sometimes people walk into church and say, oh, you guys are an emotional bunch. Yeah, that's right. If you knew where I came from, you'd understand that. You'd understand. That's why David said, he said, let me fall into the hands of the Lord. For very great are his mercies. Don't let me fall into the hands of man. You see, the best place to fall is into the hands of God. The best way to fall is to fall humbly and repentant. You see, God doesn't have a problem with sinners. He has a problem with sinners who won't confess that they are sinners. He doesn't have a problem with unrighteousness. He can do something about that. But he has a problem with self-righteousness. You see, when the woman was caught in the act of adultery, she had fallen into the hands of man. Everybody standing there judging her. She had fallen into the hands of man. They called Jesus over, thinking that he would be on their side, thinking that he would agree with them. They made a crazy mistake. She had fallen into the hands of man. They made a crazy mistake. They delivered her into the hands of Jesus. And what did she find when they delivered her into the hands of Jesus? What did she find when she fell into the hands of Jesus? She found the grace and merciful of God, the grace and mercy of God. She found the hands of a merciful God. You see, even Daniel, the prophet, said this: to the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness. Though we have rebelled against him, God is still a God of mercy and forgiveness. Jeremiah said the same thing in Lamentations 3, verse 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions, they fail not. If the musicians could come. If you look at the Ark of the Covenant, there's going to be a picture of the Ark of the Covenant right there. The Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. And inside the Ark of the Covenant, there were three things. The tables of stone, or the tablets of stone, which had, there were two of them, which had the Ten Commandments on them. There was the pot of manna, which was God's provision. And there was Aaron's rod, which speaks of leadership. Aaron's rod that budded. But what I want you to notice, on the top of that Ark of the Covenant are the cherubims. And they sit on the lid of the Ark of the Covenant, otherwise known as the mercy seat. The blood would be sprinkled on the mercy seat. Under the mercy seat was the sin, the representation or the symbols of sin that they had committed. Yes, they had broken God's law, but it was under the mercy seat. It was under the blood. Yes, they had complained about God's provision in the wilderness. They complained about the manna. Their complaint was so great that God even sent venomous snakes. They complained about God's provision. They said, it's not enough. It's not nice enough. But let me tell you, even their complaint against God's provision was under the mercy seat. It's under the blood. They had rebelled against Moses and Aaron and under God's guidance and leadership. But even that rod, they rebelled against the leadership. It was under the mercy of God. It was under the blood. Let me tell you, everything, the symbols of their sin was all under the mercy seat. And praise God, we can put our case also under the mercy seat. If you come and fall into the hands of God, you will find a God that is rich in mercy. Titus 3 verse 5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. Come on, everybody say it, mercy. According to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. Hebrews 4 verse 16 says, let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace in the time of need. Let's stand all across this place right now. Hallelujah. God is speaking to somebody today. I know it's such a simple message. And maybe you say, well, Pastor, I wish maybe you could have given us something more theological. Let me tell you what you need. You need to hear about the mercy of God. And if you're here today and you've fallen into sin, if you've drifted far from God, let me tell you, the last place you want to fall is into the hands of men. Fall into the hands of God, for great are his mercies. If you've got a testimony of the mercy of God in your life today, why don't you just begin to lift your hands and thank God for His mercy right now? Let there be an attitude of gratitude and thanksgiving. Lord God, we thank You for Your merciful hands. We thank You, Lord, for Your merciful hands. Where would I be today, Lord God, if it wasn't for Your mercy? Where would I be today if it wasn't, Lord, for Your grace, oh God, that was extended to me? Yes, oh God, I drifted far, but Your mercy went further. Yes, God, I drifted deep, but Your mercy went deeper. Oh God, we thank You for Your mercy. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I want to tell you the mercy of God is available to you today. I want to tell somebody today, wherever you are, the mercy of God is there for you today. If you would fall repentantly and humbly into the hands of God, you will find a God full and rich in mercy. You see, nobody can take you out of the hands of God. Yeah, nobody can take you out of the hands of God. Only two things can stop you. That's if you're self-righteous and you're not going to confess your sin to God. I'm not a sinner. Well, if you're not a sinner, then you're not going to fall into the hands of God. Proverbs 28 says, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. And whosoever confesseth and forsaketh his sins shall have mercy." And so you've got to be honest with God. If you want the mercy of God, you've got to be honest. You've got to fall repentant and humbly before Him. You see, if you've got to fall into the hands of God. Fall with a humble attitude. Fall repentantly into the hands of a merciful God. Hallelujah. The musicians are going to begin to play right now. I want us just to be in an attitude of thanksgiving for those of us who have experienced the mercy of God. I want you to begin to thank God right now. Don't stand in this place thinking, oh man, I'm something. Look at me. Look how far I've come. Look where I am today. No, we are all sinners saved by grace. We are all recipients of something that we didn't deserve, the mercy of God. And if you're here today and you're far from God, let me tell you, why don't you find a place of repentance in your heart? Repentance. What is repentance, Pastor? Repentance is that inward change of attitude. It's something that changes in the inside of us. An inward change of attitude that results in an outward change of action. It's not just a matter of the heart, because the matter of the heart becomes a matter of the outward as well. Turn your life around today. Fall into the hands of a merciful God. Let's pray right now. Church, just have a time of prayer right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Lift your voices and pray right now, church. We've got a merciful God wherever you are today. If you're listening online, I'm preaching about the hands of a merciful God. You can fall into those hands today and you will find a God rich in mercy. You'll find a God rich in love. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.